Chapter 16. Rotten Row. Of all the fashionable sections of that fashionable city of London, none compared to the spongy, muddy pathway in Hyde Park called the Ladies' Mile or Rotten Row. Here, weather permitting, were literally hundreds of men and women on horseback, all dressed in the greatest splendour the age could provide, radiant in the golden sunshine at 4 in the afternoon. It was a scene of bustling activity. The horsemen and horsewomen packed tightly together, the women with little uniformed footpages trotting along behind their mistresses, or sometimes accompanied by stern mounted duennas, or sometimes escorted by their beaux. And if the spectacle of Rotten Row was splendid and fashionable, it was not entirely respectable, for many of the women were of dubious character. "There is no difficulty," wrote one observer, "in guessing the occupation of the dashing equestrienne who salutes half a dozen men at once with a whip or with a wink, and who sometimes varies the monotony of a safe seat by holding her hands behind her back while gracefully swerving over to listen to the compliments of a walking admirer." These were members of the highest class of prostitute, and like it or not, respectable ladies often found themselves competing with these smartly turned-out demi-mondaines for masculine attention. Nor was this the only arena of such competition. It occurred at the opera and the theatre as well. More than one young lady found that her escort's gaze was fixed not on the performance, but on some high box where an elegant woman returned his glances with open, frank interest. Victorians claimed to be scandalized by the intrusion of prostitutes into respectable circles, but despite all the calls for reform and change, the women continued to appear gaily for nearly half a century more. It's usual to dismiss Victorian prostitution as a particularly gaudy manifestation of that society's profound hypocrisy. But the issue is really more complex. It has to do with the way that women were viewed in Victorian England. This was an era of marked sexual differentiation in dress, manner, attitude and bearing. Even pieces of furniture and rooms within the house were viewed as masculine or feminine. The dining room was masculine, the drawing room feminine, and so on. All of this was assumed to have a biological rationale.